This is the Rick Edelman Show.
Well, it has finally arrived. What am I talking about? No, it's not the school season. That's been around for a few weeks now. It's the new tax law. Yes, it has finally arrived. The Democrats have submitted their proposal in the House of Representatives for the tax plan that they want the Congress to approve and the president to sign. Now, normally here on this radio show, I mean, you know me, you've been listening for a long time, and you know I never like to talk about pending legislation. And there are two reasons why over the years people have often asked me, Rick, what do you think about the so-and-so bill? There are reasons, two of them, very simply, why I never like to talk about it. Number one, it's highly unlikely that the bill will be passed. There are hundreds and hundreds of pieces of legislation introduced before Congress on an annual basis. A tiny little sliver of them ever get into law itself. So why bother talking about something that is never going to end up happening? Second, if we do talk about proposed tax legislation, you'll just suddenly get yourself all confused comparing it to the current tax law. And I don't want to confuse you at all. So we generally wait until the laws are signed before we begin talking about them. But I need to digress. I need to deviate from my traditional normal approach because this new piece of legislation, although it has the same issues as all other proposed legislation has, there are two elements here that make it worthy of conversation. And that's why I want to talk about it with you. I'm going to go into some of the details of the new proposals. I'll couch that properly. But I want to give you this info before I launch into those details. Number one, as is always the case, the initial bill that is offered in Congress is never the final legislation that the president signs, because that's part of the political process. There's going to be debate. There's going to be back and forth. There's going to be negotiation, the so-called horse trading in the back smoke-filled room where they're doing their deals with elbowing and jockeying around and all that kind of good stuff. That is yet to come. The one thing we generally can rely on, and again, this may prove not to be true, but I am pretty confident it will be, the current proposal is as bad as it's going to get. When I say bad, I mean expensive. In other words, whatever they're offering here is the most you can expect it to offer. That's important. That gives us some guide rails to have as an idea for our planning purposes into 2022. Second, the big open question that many people have had is when is the law going to become effective? You know, normally when Congress passes a law, they make it effective the following January 1. They give people, you know, a little bit of time to get used to the fact that the law will take effect. If it's a big deal law, they say it's going to take effect in 5 years or 10 years, but they rarely say that the law will be effective as of the date of signing. But when it comes to tax law, Congress often takes a different tone. Congress often says, when they're dealing with tax law, that the law will take effect as of the date the legislation is proposed, which means that the legislation would be effective not merely when the president signs it in the next couple of months, but it would be effective way back in the month of September. In fact, sometimes they even go backwards beyond that, and they retroactively impose the law on the past few years. The Democratic proposal that was submitted to the House this week sets the law to become effective January 1st. That is very clarifying. It eliminates a lot of the fear that a lot of people had that they needed to make changes to their investment strategy or other aspects of their personal finances before Congress passed the law. It appears from the way the legislation has been proposed, we don't have to worry about that. We can take a deep sigh, a big, deep breath, sigh of relief, knowing that we don't have to act unnecessarily rapidly. We can wait and see how the legislation unfolds during the debate in the House and then ultimately in the Senate. So with those two pieces of information in mind, let me share with you what the proposal is. Here's another good element to this. The extreme proposals that were offered by Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and other far-left members of the Democratic Party, those extreme proposals were not included in this bill. There will be no wealth tax, where you are taxed on the value of your assets. There's also no tax on the billionaires. Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, they are not being targeted for taxes. In other words, the House Democrats did not go after the uber super rich. Instead, they're going after the merely rich, which, by the way, may well include you in their definition, and I'll talk about that in a moment. There's also no elimination of carried interest. You don't even know what that is. Carried interest is a tax deferral available to, you guessed it, the super rich. These are the folks who invest in private equity and hedge funds and venture capital. Private investments not available to ordinary consumers. They typically require hundreds of thousands of dollars, often millions of dollars to invest. High-risk ventures in many cases that provide, through a loophole in the law, the ability to defer their taxes on their profits until they sell those investments 10 years from now. You, as a poor little schmo buying mutual funds, have to pay taxes every year on your mutual fund profits. Not true for these folks in these private equity deals. They instead get to defer their taxes for as long as they hold that investment. There was a lot of talk that Congress was going to eliminate the carried interest provision. Guess what? The proposal didn't do it. I have to wonder, what kind of backdoor conversations have already taken place that have caused the Democrats to not go after those super billionaires and those that are investing in the kinds of deals they like to invest in? Instead, the tax increases are going after the merely rich. The new top tax rate, according to the legislation, will be 39.6%. Now, that isn't a huge increase over the current level, but it applies to people who are only earning in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, not the multi-millions of dollars. There's going to be a top corporate rate, according to the legislation, of 26.5%. And yes, those earning over $5 million, they'll pay a 3% surcharge. So yeah, people who are making an awful lot of money, $5 million or more a year, will pay more. Also, the capital gains tax is going to increase from 20% to 25%. That is a substantial increase, and that's going to apply to everybody with capital gains, which means you and me, because we get capital gains from our stocks and our bonds and our real estate and our mutual funds and our ETFs, etc. Now, here's the interesting element about this. The tax rate on the first $400,000 of income will be 18%. The tax rate on income between $400,000 and $5 million will be 21%. Now, what we have to understand about this is that if you are earning $200,000 or more, your taxes are going to go up, but only by a little bit. If you're earning $1 million or more, your taxes are going to go up over 10%. By 2027, remember I said sometimes they pass a law and they don't implement it right away, they delay the implementation? That's the case here. The taxes are going to go up, not just immediately on January 1, they're going to continue to go up over the next 6 years. By 2027, everybody who's earning $30,000 or more are going to be paying higher taxes. You remember when President Biden said on the campaign trail, nobody earning under $400,000 would be suffering a tax increase? Well, it appears, you know what I'm saying? It appears that isn't going to prove true. By the way, higher income earners are going to have a lower array of tax deductions they can take. There are going to be higher taxes on tobacco, and salt is unchanged. The deduction you get for your state and local taxes, there's a $10,000 limit. You can't deduct more than that, even though you're probably paying more than that in property taxes and state income taxes. That is not changed, even though there were campaign promises to do so. So this is looking like the most that the tax increases are going to be. By the time we get to the negotiation, it may prove even less than this. I'll keep you posted here on the show in the weeks and months to come. What we need to recognize for the moment is that there does not appear to be any need for you to engage in extensive changes in your investment strategy as a result of what the tax law is going to look like on January 1. You're going to want to stay in touch with your financial and tax advisors to make sure you are doing what you need to be doing at the time you need to be doing it. 888-PLAN-RICK, rickedelman.com.
These callers are pre-recorded and pre-screened. Neither Edelman Financial Engines, a division of Financial Engines Advisors LLC, nor its affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and/or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. Investing strategies such as asset allocation, diversification, or rebalancing do not assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. All investments have inherent risks, including loss of principal. There are no guarantees that a portfolio employing these or any other strategy will outperform a portfolio that does not engage in such strategies. Past performance does not guarantee future results.